So guys, if we can just stretch out our hands to Jeff as we just lift him up to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this wonderful man, a man who you've deposited so richly into, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for the grace of his life that you've poured out, Lord. And we just pray this evening, Lord, that that we would position our hearts to receive every single, I was going to say word, but the picture of honey, just a drop, just fell. Every drop of honey that is going to flow through this man and into our hearts, Lord, that would warm our hearts towards you, that would turn our hearts towards you, that would soften our hearts towards you. I thank you for this vessel. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would even right now begin to pour and pour and pour as Jeff begins to release. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff. We pray a blessing over him, over his family, richly in Jesus' name.
No pressure, eh? It's really amazing to be back here. I mean that. I was just, I don't know who I was talking to before. About 18 months ago, I hardly knew where this place was. And I've been here a few times now. Not to the evening thing, but other meetings, you know. People say, where's Sunningdale? I say, I don't forget you, it's Tableview. I just know Sunningdale. So, have I told you the story about the stagecoach? Okay. Pretend, yeah, please, if I've told you, just, you know, make like. When Joey asked me, I was supposed to come on the 28th. What's last month, is it? And we had Jonathan Stanfield with that word, you remember? And we watched, and he said to me, what are you going to speak about? And I said, I want to speak about unblocking wells. And the way we unblock wells is very important. You know the whole Isaac, Abraham story. Abraham dug a lot of wells, and then the Philistines stopped them all up. And then Isaac came and unblocked the wells. And he called them by the same name that his dad had called them. And there's something in our natural psyche, spiritually, that blocks the well, stops the flow of what God wants to do, yeah? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you're still breathing, and you can breathe, it's free. Air, it's okay. And so I want to speak tonight on a subject that might surprise you, the title. But I think it's a gift that we've neglected. And if you're a visitor and you're a bit, I don't know what the word is. If you're not baptized in the Spirit and this gets a bit odd, please come speak to me afterwards and I'll make it unodd for you. All right. Because I know this because it's in my knowing. My knowing somewhere inside, yeah? And I know it. And it's not, I'm trying to say, I know it because I'm the man. I know it through experience. And I can argue somebody into something, and they'll agree with me, and they'll accept it, but then they might meet somebody who has a better argument, and they can argue that person out of what I've argued them into, because their argument is better. But if I encourage that person to experience Christ by the Spirit, nothing can change that. And so we need to know, but we need to know by experience. Can you say amen? You need to know him by experience. And he's given us, Jacques, I've got Jacques in my head, my mind. I'm going to quote Jacques all the time. I've met this guy. It's such an embarrassing story. And I know he's, you know, Andrew's brother-in-law, and so he's the kind of guy you need to remember, and, you know, Jeanette's his wife. And so he comes, he says, how's it? I said, have I met you before? I'm serious. He drops his mask. I was so embarrassed. So he comes tonight, takes his mask off. He says, hi. Hello, Jacques. I'm sorry. I publicly apologize for not knowing who you were. Philip quoted it. This man, Philip. He quoted it. God, Peter says, we've been given everything we need for life and godliness. So I looked up the Greek word for everything. It says everything. No, I didn't look up the Greek word. And I'm sorry, guys, I didn't give you any scriptures because it suddenly dawned on me during the worship that I was supposed to have. So we're just going to wing it. Okay. So the title I want to give this thing is this: The Power of Praying in Tongues. And I think it's often a neglected gift that God has given to His body, to the church, which unlocks many things for us in our spiritual walk. And it's one of the means I believe God has given us to unblock our wells. You know, when we say, how are we going to unblock the well? You think physically, well, we've got to take things out or get rid of. When I pray in the Spirit, it makes the living water inside of me begin to flow again. So when I pray in tongues, now I'm not going to tell you how long you've got to pray for. I read Will the other day saying that when he gets into the car, he just prays for 5 minutes in tongues before they take off. And he prays in tongues at various... I'm not advocating when, I'm advocating just do it. Do a Nike on us. Just do it. Okay, so that's what I want to speak about. So I want to... I'm sorry, guys. I'll go to Acts chapter 2. And you can run around in Acts for a bit. Is that okay? On the famous day of Pentecost. Let me just pray. Then I'll tell you my story too. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you're here by your Spirit. And I thank you that, Holy Spirit, you are the one that enlightens us. You bring us revelation. You are the one that gives us gifts. They're the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so we acknowledge you and we pray. Won't you speak to us tonight so that we will be better at glorifying Jesus? Because that's what you said you'll do. You will help us glorify him. And we want to make him famous. We want his name to be made known. And we need you, Holy Spirit, to empower us, to motivate us, to move us to do that. So I ask you, do that tonight for us, Lord. Amen. So, on the day of Pentecost, you know the story. They were in the upper room and the Holy Spirit fell. And we know the story. That there was a sound like a rushing of a mighty wind. That's what the Bible says. It wasn't a rushing mighty wind. It was the sound thereof. Blew through the place. And what appeared to be or seemed to be tongues of fire sat on each of their heads. And they were baptized in the Spirit. And they spoke in tongues. And they left the upper room. And they'd been there, the Bible tells us, for fear of the Jews. And they left there empowered to go and fulfill the purpose that Jesus had called them to fulfill. And they had been given a specific gift on that day. Now, the gift was unique in that the people that were there heard them speaking in their own languages, which has never happened again, although I've heard stories of somebody bringing a tongue in a meeting and some foreigner coming to him afterwards and say, hey, you spoke in my language. He says, oh, really? I didn't know. And this is what you said. And the guy that interpreted the tongue got it right. So that's quite a unique thing. But it's we've never had the day of Pentecost again where the whole church was together and that happened. Okay, but that was the initial outpouring of the Spirit so that the church would be empowered to fulfill the function that God had called it to do. And then in Acts chapter 10, Peter goes to Cornelius' house. You know, Cornelius is a Gentile. You know, Peter's pressing problem was that he always fell asleep. If you read about Peter, you know, when Jesus said, come pray, Peter fell asleep. When Peter was in the vision, in a trance, you must read Acts 10. It's beautiful. And Peter, he's a bit of a doofy, I think. And it says, let me just read it. I love the wording of this. When it says this, he says, while Peter was wondering about the vision, you know, Peter, gee, what is this all about, you know? And he was having like a doze on the roof. And God sent him a vision. And it says, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you downstairs. Now, here's the key thing. He goes downstairs. He talks to them, these Gentile people. He gets into trouble for it. Because how can a Jew go into a Gentile home? And this is what he says to them when they question him about what happened. It says this, I must just find it. Oh my goodness. It's in here. Okay, then it says this, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter, Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they started speaking in tongues. So he relates that story back to the Jewish guys. He says, listen, that's what happened. And the Bible infers that because they heard that the Spirit had fallen on them and they'd spoken in tongues, that was then okay. He says, the same thing that happened to us happened to them. And then they said, oh, well, if that's what happened... So they had this wonderful experience. And in Acts chapter 19, Paul goes down to Ephesus. You know the story. And he meets some disciples. And he asks them if they've received the Holy Spirit. They say, we don't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. He said, well, whose baptism were you baptized in? They said, we were baptized in John's baptism. And Paul speaks to them and prays for them. And they get filled with the Spirit. And they speak in tongues. And then in Mark chapter 16, it says that tongues is the sign that will follow the believer. It's a supernatural sign, as well as laying on of hands, laying the sick, healing the sick, casting out devils. So the Holy Spirit and tongues is key to Christianity. Now I'll tell you this. Here's the problem. The mind can't easily accept the things of the Spirit. Because the mind struggles. You know, when Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and he said, and we with unveiled faces all behold the glory of God. We reflect the glory, he said, we behold. And we get changed from one degree of glory to another. Now, you just think of that naturally. How's that going to work? Surely I must do something. I can't just sit and enjoy Jesus and behold the glory. No, I can. And the mind doesn't want to own that, because the mind wants us to do something in order to achieve, so that we can tick it off and say, I did that, and thereby I am now I've got a little bit more of the glory. Are you still with me? The spirit realm for the mind is very difficult. It's very difficult, and we've got to fight to own that and to get that. This is what Peter says in Acts chapter 11. He says, when they heard this, Peter's explanation, I'm looking for it. I must just tell you, I must read it to you. It's important. Acts 11, 18, it says, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. Peter said this, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think I could oppose God? When they heard that, they said, okay, fine. We'll accept the Gentiles. So there was not an argument of getting the Gentiles to come into the church. There was an outpouring of the Spirit, and they spoke in tongues, and the disciples explained that, and the people said, that's fine then. And we have made it a very otherwise thing to accept people. You know what I'm saying? I'll get to the point, what I'm trying to make. Paul makes a clear distinction between tongues for our own edification, for our own building up, and for tongues in a meeting where there's an interpretation. Can I ask a question? When last was there tongue and interpretation in this congregation? Can you remember? Sorry? Pre-COVID? No, we don't want arguments. More than a year ago. Yes? Not more. Within the last year. Now, what is a tongue and interpretation? What's it for? A prophetic word, Paul says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So we all want to be prophets, and I'm not a prophet. Milani's a prophet, and these people are prophets. I'm not a prophet. Somebody said, what's your gift? I said, I don't actually know what I am. I genuinely fit. I don't know where I fit. So I feel a little bit of a misfit sometimes. I genuinely do. What is my gift? I don't know what I am. What did you say? Okay, all right, okay. I'm not going to listen. Okay, so there's a difference. Let me explain to you between when I get born again and I receive the Spirit, then I get baptized in the Spirit and God gives me the gift of speaking in tongues. Now, that's not the sign. We are not the Pentecostal people who say that is the sign of being baptized in the Spirit. When I was still in a very traditional church, young in the faith, I was invited to this meeting where this guy said to me, do you speak in tongues? So I said, no. He said, then you're like an elephant without a trunk, bro. So it was very unkind. somebody wrote to me the other day and said, do you carry weight in that area? I said, it's very rude, that, actually. I do carry weight, but not in that area of influence somewhere. So we're not saying that the gift of tongues is the sign, but it's a sign. It's a sign of you having received the baptism of the Spirit, the outpouring, the baptism of the Spirit. And baptized means you get immersed. You know, just the same as you've been baptized in water, you know you were. Because why? Because you got wet. You got dunked. You went under the water, symbolic of you dying to your old life, being resurrected to new life. People say to me, I'm not sure if I was baptized in the Spirit. Believe me, if you're not sure, you haven't been. Because if you have been, you'll know. Can you say amen? Okay, so that's good. So we're getting somewhere. So, the power of praying in tongues. We must be equipped to fight what we have got by way of an enemy in this day and age. And God gives us weapons. You know, Paul says that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and municipalities and all those things that Phil knows. And the rulers in the air and all those things. How do we fight them? By praying. That's our weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't go and sort them out. We pray first. We believe God first. And then God moves people's hearts. And then things happen. And praying in tongues is a weapon God has given to His people, to us, in order for us to overcome. Let me give you a testimony. When my late wife and I planted this church called The Bay down in Muizenberg, we looked at this piece of land that we wanted to buy, and it belonged to the railways, and there was no ways. The railways were, so I didn't mean to say that, but it's quite good. We're going to give us the land. They wanted to give us a 99-year lease, and that was all. But we prayed, and we prayed, and I remember praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, praying, standing on the land. I remember standing on it one day, praying in tongues with my eyes closed, and this guy walked past, and I saw him. I said, hi. He said, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm just praying for this land. And he said, oh, why? So I said, well, because as a church, we want to buy it. He said, but you'll never be able to buy it because it belongs to the railways. They don't sell land. Now, Joshua's generation have had same things. And we just prayed, and we'd have prayer meetings. We'd just pray in tongues. We'd pray. And God opened a door. We bought the land for 40 rand a square meter and sold it 2 years later for 400 rand a square meter. Isn't God good? So we paid 420,000, then we had 4.2 million. We were a poor church, didn't have any money. Then we had a house that we'd bought for 300,000 rand or something. We sold that for whatever we sold it for. So we had all this money, and we found this building, and it had parking and the whole thing. And I remember going to the attorneys in Fishhook to sign for the parking. And the guy, you know, when you're a pastor, they all get very religious, you know. So he said, "Pastor, how's the church going to, pay for this?" So I said, "Oh, we'll just give you a check. 1.2 million. I said, "We'll just give you a bank guarantee check." Oh, you're fine. And I walked out thinking, "You think the church is poor, you wally." And I got into my car and I repented. I said, "God, sorry that I did that, but it made me feel very nice." But we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and God moved things. And you've all had experiences like that. You pray and God moves things. But now during lockdown, when we haven't been together, and lots of us live off, listen to me now, we live off other people's expression of their faith in meetings. So I come to a meeting and I'll stand next to Phil, because when Phil worships, he really goes for it, and that stirs me. Or I stand next to Nadine when we pray, because when she prays, heaven comes down. So I go and stand there when she prays. And I feed off other people's anointing. And I don't feed myself, so that when I hit some trouble, I find my well is blocked. And during COVID, when we haven't been able to meet as regularly as we have been able to, should have been able to meet, some of us have had our wells stopped up because we've lived off. That's not wrong to come on a Sunday and live off that. To be honest, I will position myself to somebody who can sing, because I'm a great singer, and then they sing good and I sing and I sound amazing. And I leave there really blessed, thinking I did well this morning. Because you draw off what they've got. If you want to slay giants, you hang out with the guy who slays giants. If you want to prophesy, you hang out with the prophetic people. If you want to do, you hang out with those people. You know what I'm trying to say? And we draw off them. But that mustn't be the main source of our living for Jesus. And we've neglected this gift that God has given us of tongues. Tongues is a kind of entry gift. It's a kind of entry gift into the realm of the Spirit. It's very important. It's an initial evidence of being baptized, as I said, in the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural evidence that I have the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. Anywhere you like, you can pray in tongues. In the queue at the supermarket, people move for you. It's amazing. Just pray in tongues behind somebody. Do you want to come through? Thank you very much. No, I'm kidding. Can you imagine standing in the court? People, now you can pray where you like. You don't have to have a space or a place. Just get used to using the gift, because the gift is a weapon to open doors and to unblock wells. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling on the inside of you. This is the Spirit who gives you the gift. And if the Spirit of Him, Romans 8:11, who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. So, it's not just like a kickstart for me. You know, I've said it here once before. I said, lift your hands to heaven, that's where your help comes from. It's like Holy Ghost jumper leads. You know, you kickstart yourself. You know, get a fibrillator to get your heart going again. You know those things? Yeah. The gift of tongues is not that. Just to kickstart the meeting. Oh, here we go. Now I'm fine. I'm away. No, it's a gift God wants us to use over and over and over and over every day of our lives, every day. Pray, pray, pray in the Spirit. It's a weapon. We want to go to the nations. You need weapons. pray in tongues. It's a weapon. The power of praying in tongues. It's not just a kickstart. It's a prayer language. Pray in it. Don't be like a machine gun when you pray in tongues. I don't know why when people pray in tongues, they think they've got to speed up, you know. It's normal. Just be. Have you heard people praying? You catch up. Just pray in tongues. It's okay. I don't know. It's a Pentecostal thing. I remember when I first got baptized in the Spirit, and I went to these meetings, and the guys would prophesy, and they'd say, "Yea, thus saith the Lord." Yeah, I thought, now what? And you know, it was a blessed thought. It wasn't a prophecy, you know, that they brought. And then I thought the yay was like a trigger to get something from God. So I'd stand there and go, "Yay." Nux, brood, nothing. Yay, nothing. Because we follow after what people do instead of following after what God says we must do. I liked what Phil said. Let's just follow what God wants. He said to me, "What are we going to do tonight?" I said, "I don't know yet." Because genuinely, I don't know. But afterwards, we'll know. Okay, secondly, praying in tongues edifies me. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself," or she edifies himself. To edify means to construct, to build up, to be a home builder, to put a root on it. It builds me up. So when I'm feeling a bit miff, I don't phone the pastor, I pray in tongues. When I'm feeling a bit down, I just pray in tongues. It edifies me. It builds me up. It makes me realize, hang on, I've got the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. I can do all things through Him because He's strengthening me. He's edifying me. Can you say amen? Use the gift. It's a gift that God has given us to use. It says that anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. I love this. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. Some translations say he utters divine secrets with his spirit. Now, we don't know what we're saying. That's why the mind rebels against praying in tongues. Because it does sound stupid. I've been a Christian now since 1974. I got baptized in the Spirit in 1976. And I've prayed in tongues since then. And you know, some mornings I start praying in tongues and the devil says, "That's rubbish, man." And my mind plays games with me. After all these years, surely you'll let me go. Nah. And you've got to discipline your mind. Because your mind will say, "Oh, you're wasting your time." That's the thoughts that will go through your head. The Bible also says when you pray in tongues that your mind's unfruitful. Doesn't mean you leave your brains at the door, but it means your mind is not conceiving what you're actually praying. But the Bible says you're edifying yourself, you're building yourself up. Divine secrets. We have a supernatural means of communicating to God. There's a man, he's dead today, his name was Ed Rabert. Planted Hatfield Christian Church in Pretoria, and he said this once in a meeting. He said, don't quote me, but anyway, he's dead now, so we can quote him. And he said this, he said, "When you pray in tongues, the devil doesn't know what you're praying, because it's a heavenly gift." Now, I don't know if that's true, but take it from Ed Rabert as true. When your mind is unfruitful doesn't mean that you don't pray. It's just that you don't understand. There's many things that happen in the spirit world that we don't understand. So it edifies me. It builds me up. The Bible tells me it edifies me. So I practice what it says because the word is like a prescription to my soul. So when the Bible says do something, it's like a prescription. It satisfies my soul. It feeds my soul. It enables me. It builds me up. Amen. All right. Thirdly, if we pray in tongues, it helps us as we keep praying to want us to pray in the same way the Spirit can help us in our weakness. Who finds praying easy? Well, you're better than Paul. Because Paul said, you know, that Jesus said rather that, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You remember the disciples? I enjoy praying. And, you know, actually this morning I was up there, it's lovely. And I thought to myself, Lord, here I am. After all these years, and I still want to meet with you. I still want to draw from you. Thank you so much for keeping me. It's nothing, it's not me. It's not, I'm such a great guy. No, it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God that He's kept me. And He's given me this desire, this passion, this longing to be with Him, for Him to speak to me. Isn't it amazing? It's wonderful. It's absolutely glorious. So He says this, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. This is very important. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Romans 8, 26, 27. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. Praying in tongues keeps selfish prayers away from us, because the Spirit helps us pray in accordance with God's will. Notice the verse doesn't say we do not know how to pray. The verse says we do not know what to pray. So when I don't know what to pray, I just use my prayer language. It's a weapon. And I always think to myself, ha, 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 devil, bad luck. I got you, bro. You're a dead man. I'm praying in tongues now. And I build myself up. I pray in the tongues. It edifies me. And I utter mysteries. And it keeps me praying what God wants me to pray. So it's not that He keeps me from praying, I don't know how to pray. It's I don't know what to pray. Have you had times like that? I'll give you a testimony. I've got a good friend. He's just turned 60. And he's got liver cancer. The same cancer that killed my wife. And his wife is desperate. So she keeps phoning me. What do you do? What do you do when this happens? How do you do? How do I manage? What's going to happen next? So I'm visiting him. So it's quite an emotional thing. But I'll tell you what God has shown me. You know, when we say we die to self, we want what you want, Lord. I'm seeing this man dying. And actually he's dying to self. That's what God means. Put aside anything that's on your agenda. It must be for me. Now, in the natural, I can't do that. I need spiritual help. And I need spiritual strength in order to do that. Now, this poor brother. Sure. So we had a very honest chat the last visit I paid him. I said, my friend, unless God does a miracle, are you ready to meet Jesus? Because I don't think he'll even last till June. He's just going down. And you know, he didn't know how to answer me. He said, and he's a Christian, lovely Christian man. He said, is it, do I have to give up more? I said, no, you've given up, Steve. You've given up. You have to rely on him now. In your state, you have to rely on him. The thing you can do, my friend, is you know how to pray. Just pray in the Spirit. And the next time I saw him, he said, you know, it's helping me. It's helping me. Because he doesn't know what to pray. What do I pray? Do we go there boldly, say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing on this man? Maybe God wants him. I don't know. I don't know. God doesn't tell us how to pray. They asked Jesus how to pray. We've learned how to pray. But we don't know what to pray sometimes. And I don't know what to pray for him. I don't know what he's got. Three boys, all seniors. Youngest one's 30. Two are married. His wife's desperate. What do I pray? Thank you, Lord. I've got this gift. It's a weapon. And I can pray. I pray for him in tongues. I pray for him. And I help him. The Holy Spirit is not responsible for our prayer life. We are. He helps us in what to pray, not how to pray. He's been sent to help us. He's our helper. He's our intercessor. He prays for us. But we must discipline ourselves to get praying. Then he comes alongside us to help us. We've got to learn to pray in tongues. Now, I know if I ask you, do you often pray in tongues? You're all going to say, yeah. Because nobody wants to say, oh, no, I don't. There's sometimes circumstances like I've got where we feel we don't understand. Or there's stories about things we're not sure about. Those are the times we pray in the Spirit. Let me tell you a story. My third child is a daughter. I thought having kids was... bringing up kids was simple. My first two, they were amazing. Then my third one arrived. Then I realized, actually, it's a challenger. So she had just turned 17, I think. She came one day with this plan. She said, Dad, I want to make some pocket money. And I've found out that I can sell roses in restaurants. Now, you've sat in restaurants. People come and say, would you like to buy a rose? And so I said, okay, tell me the story. How does it work? Now, they come pick me up. Guy comes and picks her up at the house, takes her to the depot. She gets her roses, gives them a float. He takes her to all the restaurants, goes back to the depot. They cash up, and he brings her home. I said, well, what can go wrong? I mean, it's foolproof. Except she decided the one night, he said he's going to some or other like party thing. She said, oh, I'll come with you. There were no cell phones in those days, nothing. So she usually due home at about 11:30, 12:30. So 12 o'clock came, it's a Saturday night, Sunday morning is church, and no Lisa, 12 o'clock. So I'm a bit anxious, so I'm outside walking up and down, praying in tongues. So 12 o'clock goes, 12:30 comes and goes, 1 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock, 2:30. Now I'm not praying in tongues anymore, I'm now... you know, like there's smoke coming out my ears. I'm now, because I'm anxious, I'm worried, and I'm mad. So at about 2:45, there comes a car. She gets out the car, she says, hi, Dad. What are you doing outside? It was a good thing I was praying in tongues for so long. Because we might have been, I had up for something. She thought it was fun. I said, where have you been? I said to the guy, what do you think you're doing? He said, no, 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 sir, sir. So he said, she insisted she can come with and you won't worry. Thank you very much. That was the longest I've ever prayed in tongues for any particular thing. I was so mad with her. She went inside, went to bed, and I said to her, don't even worry. Don't worry to come to church tomorrow. I'm so sick with you kids. She was first up. She was dressed. She was there. Off to church. I wandered into church, half dead. And then I said to the church, I spent a lot of time praying last night. Which was true. But the cause of it, I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know what to pray. Because your mind goes crazy. You always think the worst. Something's happened. No phone call. God, please, God, in tongues, up and down the little driveway, up and down. And we had a dog that used to visit us and overturn the dustbin. And it was dark where we lived, and I turned around and the dog was in the dustbin, and I got a fright and the dog got a fright. And in my praying, I shouted, Futsak! And that wasn't in tongues. And the dogs disappeared and never came back. I think it got such a fright when it saw me in the state I was in. So praying in tongues helps. It helps. There are circumstances we don't understand, but we can pray. We can pray in tongues. And then, fourthly, we pray in tongues. It stirs or stimulates our faith. Jude 20 says this, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, some people say, well, that's not necessarily praying in tongues, but it's not necessarily not praying in tongues. So we can take either or pray, build yourselves up. Some people say that we have to exercise our faith to pray in tongues every time we start, because we trust God to bring the next word. and trusting God to produce faith. So I build myself up. Pray in the Holy Ghost, stirring your faith. Years ago, I'd been baptized in the Spirit, and I'd led this young guy to the Lord, who's an English guy, and he went back to the UK and then backslid rather badly and then came back, and we were at some pool with some people, and he said to me, do you speak in tongues? I said, yeah. So he said, well, speak for me. Now, have you ever had that? It's like a bit weird, you know. And you think, okay, so I spoke in tongues. So he said, that's amazing. Do it again. And I realized then that we do it in faith. We believe God will give me the words, and then my tongues changed over the years, by the way. When I first started praying in tongues, I was thinking the other morning, what happened to that word and that word? I don't say those words anymore. But we build ourselves up in our most holy faith. We use the gift to give thanks. The Bible says we do not know what we are saying unless God gives us the interpretation. But 1 Corinthians 14:7 says, you may be giving thanks well enough, which in other words says, I'm giving thanks. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm giving thanks to God. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Lastly, let me quote Paul again about praying in tongues. He says in 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. So Paul prayed in tongues. And I want to encourage you to pray in tongues. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, but do not forbid speaking in tongues. Now, he's speaking about tongues in a meeting and interpretation, but there's a private gift, a private prayer language God gives you. And I want to exhort you tonight to use the gift. To use the gift. Not live off other people's anointing in meetings or in situations. Use the gift God has given you. Who doesn't speak in tongues? Tonight, you're going to speak in tongues. How's that? Tonight, you're going to speak in tongues. And God's going to take you into a new understanding. I was going to say a new level, but that's not right. Doesn't sound good. It sounds like we who speak in tongues, we're a bit better than you don't. That's not what I'm saying. Paul is endorsing what I've been saying. I want to encourage you to press on for more. Our minds are the hindrance. When it says, I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, and my mind is unfruitful, it doesn't mean that I'm just a doffy. It just means I can't work this out with a natural mind. The realm of the spirit, brothers and sisters, is a realm that is beyond our understanding. We've got to access it through the means that God has given us to access it. Otherwise, we try and work it out. You cannot work that out. You can't work it out. Does not make sense to the natural mind. What is kardos lebe tutre berenos temen to me? Absolutely nothing. What does it mean to you? Nothing to the mind. But you know what? When I pray and I pray and I pray, it edifies me and it stirs my faith and it builds me up. Gives me confidence. And you know, it's an entry gift. The other gifts start functioning off that. Who would like to prophesy? Nobody. How dare you? The Bible says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Who would like to prophesy? I'm not saying. Now you see, Melanie and them run these training things to prophesy. And that's brilliant. That's brilliant. But you must eagerly desire it. Don't just come to the training, I want to prophesy. Are you desiring to prophesy? Are you desiring to see the sick healed? Are you desiring to see people set free from demonic influences? I remember the first time I prayed for a guy with demons. I didn't know what I was doing. So I sat on him because he was misbehaving. I'm serious. I sat on him. He was going off, so we sat. And he was going, I remember his name was Norman. And he was a panel beater. And all his nails were full of paint and stuff. He was... And we just rebuked and bound and cursed and did whatever we thought was good. And Norman got set free. Hallelujah. And then when I got up, Norman said, you're heavy. I said, well, you're free, aren't you, brother? So now you pray in tongues. You pray. I've understood a little bit of the dimension of the spirit realm. Now you can recognize things. How does it happen? I pray in tongues. I use the gift God has given me. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. I fight. I fight. Can you say amen? There's power in praying in tongues. It's interesting that there hasn't been a tongue and interpretation. I felt God speak to me about our congregations. So I thought I'll use this simple little word to stir you to believe God for more. Because this is the entry gift. Are gifts important? I'll tell you what, they're essential. They are absolutely essential. If we don't have the gifts of the Spirit operating in our church, we'll become a little bit carnal. Because you can see the gifts that are mostly, and here's a gift. This is a gift. Administratively, I've never seen a gift like this in my life. Now I believe that administration is a gift. I was first employed in the church as administrator. I didn't believe it was a gift because I didn't do it as well as Phil, but now I've seen it. But he's not just an administrator. Leadership and equipping, is that a gift? It's essential. Is prophecy a gift? It's not just important, it's essential. We must have prophecy. We must have tongues and interpretation. We must have words of knowledge. We must have words of wisdom. Because that realm, that's the realm God wants us to be in. And praying in tongues has got a power to take us into that realm. That's where we start. That's the entry level gift. That's the entry gift. You know those things when you go camping? Maybe some of you have seen them. There's a little, you go to the shower and there's a little pilot light. You know, the gas. And then you turn the shower on and poof, the whole thing comes to life and there's hot water. That's what praying in tongues is like, that little pilot light. Remember you used to sing, this little light of mine, you probably don't remember. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I won't let Satan it out. Or you sing, joy, 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 with joy my heart is ringing. There's no joy, we just sing. That comes from the realm of the Spirit. That comes from the Spirit. We used to do all this stuff, but we never saw it all. God's calling us to be a people that allow the little pilot light, when they turn the water on, to let the river run again. Those then bursts into flame, and suddenly there's life. And I can shower hot water on those cold winter mornings when some of you nutters go camping. God bless you. God wants to touch you, stir you, motivate you. Can you say amen? He wants to move you. Some of your wells have got blocked. We're going to unblock the wells tonight. Amen.